Welcome to It Does Not Define Me, Breast Cancer Warriors, on Freedom 106.5. Today, we continue to honor breast cancer survivors, and we continue to recognize Breast Cancer Awareness Month 2023. And to do this, we're sharing with you stories of women who have defied the odds. They have either come through this journey, walked the storm, or walked through the storm, that is, and come out a stronger, better human being. But today, our guest, and that's Anita Satenrein, she's still under the clouds. She's still going through radiation therapy, hopeful that doctors will declare her cancer-free. But in spite of all that's happening in her life, she's confident that her story will inspire others to not see this as a death sentence, but to know that you too can sit here one day and talk about your triumph. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I am good. Thank you.
Now, Anita, at 48, you, for the last year, have been battling with cancer.
Yes.
Was cancer present in your family?
We do not have a history of cancer.
Did it ever occur to you that I'm going to go to the doctor and be declared a breast cancer victim?
Never in a million years would I think I would have to be that.
Tell me about the journey that led up to you with the diagnosis.
I discovered a little lump at the side of my right breast.
Was it normal for you to do self-examinations?
It wasn't really self-examination. It was where the wire in the bra sits on the side of the breast. I discovered a little pea-sized lump there one day, and I stopped wearing all those bras with the wires. I haven't felt the lump again. Many months, after I felt like a big size lump there. And that's where I started to go to the doctors to find out what's happening. And when they did the biopsy, they told me I had cancer.
Let's take a couple steps back. It's not a pea-sized lump anymore.
It grew, but I haven't felt it since I felt the pea-sized lump. I did not feel it again. And when I did feel it, it turned out to be something much bigger.
So you go to the doctor. Was there ever a thought in your mind that this may be cancer?
Never. I thought maybe, you know, it happened because of the wire from the bra, and it might be something can just be removed, and that would be it. I never thought it would turn out to be cancer.
What did the doctors say to you when you said to them, "Doc, I have a lump in my breast. I think something has to be removed"?
Well, first of all, they would have to do the biopsy to be sure of what it is.
Did they explain that to you, that there is a possibility? Was that the first time you heard the word cancer?
Yes, they did say that. They said it could be something cancerous, but they have to do a biopsy to be sure.
What did you feel on that moment?
Actually, I did not feel scared. I did not feel anything, because in my mind I'm thinking, you know, they think it may be cancerous. I don't think it would be cancerous because I don't have that in the family.
So you start the process, you're going to do your tests and the biopsy. Tell me about the first test, the number of tests, and that waiting period.
Well, they were actually, they acted fast with the biopsy. It didn't take very long. 2 weeks after, I went back in and the doctor asked me, she said, "Did anybody come with you?" I said, "No, it's just myself." She said, "Well, I have some news for you. You have cancer." So I looked at her. I said, "Okay." And she's looking at me and she said, "Do you understand what I just said to you? You have cancer." I said, "Yes, I understand what you said." But in my mind, I'm still not thinking, I don't believe it's cancer. You know, I went back to my car. I did break down then. I
think who did you call?
I called my sister-in-law. She has been with me through most of my treatments. And
what did you say?
I told her, I said, I just got the results from my biopsy and they told me it's cancer. I told her, I said, "I don't believe it." I cried and I prayed. I said, "Lord, I'm not accepting this, you know." And we went to St. James to get a second opinion.
Because you still did not believe.
I did not believe it.
So when you got the first opinion, you obviously you have a daughter.
Yes, I do.
And you have a husband.
Yes.
Did you say it to them at that time? Or were you confident that the second opinion would be different?
Yeah, I did mention to them, yes.
What did you say?
Well, I told them the biopsy came back positive for cancer. I think they believed it more than me. I still did not believe it. I was still strong. I did not break down again since that time in the car. And I told them, I said, I'm going to St. James to get a second opinion. And when I went to St. James and they examined me, they say they confirmed, yes, it's cancer.
You said your family believed it and you didn't.
Yeah.
So after the second opinion, what did you come back and say to them? That I really do have this?
Yes. But still in my mind, I'm thinking, how is this possible? How is it that I can have cancer? You know, my family does not have a history of cancer. How can this be? I still think maybe as we go along and they run more tests, they might discover, oh, well, you know, it's not cancerous. It can just be removed. I still had that hope that that would happen.
Tell me about your husband and your daughter. How did they react to the first and the second opinion?
They were very supportive. When I told them, they came and they hugged me and they said, don't worry, everything is going to be okay.
What stage did they give you your diagnosis at?
3.
Did the doctors explain to you the risks of a stage 3 diagnosis? What did they say to you about your chances, about your treatment, about your life?
Well, first of all, I had to do chemo. I had to do chemo in order to stop the growth from where it's at and to start shrinking it. And then they said they can move on to surgery to remove it. But the possibility was always there that I will lose my right breast. They would have to do a mastectomy.
Explaining all of the risks, as a woman and breast cancer, and you identify with your physical attributes because it is what you know
yes.
to be, this is me. Tell somebody saying to you, Anita, you may lose your hair with the chemotherapy.
Chemo, yes.
There's a possibility your body is going to change. There's a possibility your skin texture may change. And there is a possibility that as a woman, you may lose the physical attributes of your body. When saying that, did you understand what it meant?
I understand everything that came with it. I understood perfectly. But knowing it's logical, you know that's what may happen. Actually experiencing it was a different emotion altogether. It's then everything started to sink in, you know. Then I really started to get the feeling, well, yes, it is cancer. I will have to experience everything that somebody who has cancer would experience.
When you got the diagnosis, your family knew. Did you share the news with anyone?
Yes.
Were you?
Yes.
I know when we had some interviews before, some guests said they were ashamed and they were afraid. When they immediately found out, they just went into a shell and nobody they
wanted. No, I was never ashamed. I never kept it a secret. I never hid it from anybody because I always thought sickness is for everybody. And, you know, it's good to let people know things. When I spoke to people, I let them know what I was going through, what was happening to me.
And saying that I'm battling cancer. I know also at the time when your treatment, 2 years prior, you started a business.
Yes. We started a business. I was the sole person that used to be at that business. And when I was diagnosed with the cancer, we had to close it down because I would have had to be closed more days than I would be open due to doctor visits and treatments. And it was a spot we were renting, so we couldn't afford to pay rent and be closed most of the time. So we had to close it down.
You know, cancer affects families in terms of relationships. There's a moment of, you said you were not scared and you didn't hide it, but How did your husband react? How did your daughter react?
Oh, my husband and my daughter, they are, wow, they are my pillar of strength. They supported me over 100%. They did everything for me. My husband took time off from work to go with me to treatments, to go to doctor visits. My daughter is always there. My daughter, she's 20 years old, but in her mind, she thinks that she's my caretaker.
Yeah.
You know, she asked, Mommy, do you want something to eat? Mommy, you want something to drink? Mommy, you take your tablet. She would go to school and she would call me, Mom, did you take your tablet? Don't forget to take your tablet, you know, because I would have to take tablets before and after chemo. But she used to make sure she made a list and stuck it on the fridge, what tablets I have to take when, so that when my husband sees it, he would know what to give me if I forget and if he's there. They are very, very supportive.
When they explained to you your diagnosis and you decided you had to get the surgery, what was that time period like for you and preparing for the surgery? Because some of our interviewees have said it was just so quick. Everything was just happening so quickly.
Well, I had to do 8 sessions of chemo, 3 weeks apart. So it was a lengthy time. I actually didn't complete all 8 sessions because the lump was not shrinking as they expected it to. So by the 7th session, my chemo doctor, we stopped the 8th session and moved up surgery date. So I did the surgery. I think it would have been some months into the chemo, yeah.
You say that, you know, they tell you the lump wasn't being reduced because of
it
course.
It wasn't, yeah.
What was it like when doctors say to you, we need to do something differently, this is not working?
Well, I knew surgery was at the end of the road from chemo. Mm-hmm. I knew I had to do it. I still had hope that the lump would shrink and they wouldn't have to remove everything. But, well, that did not happen. So I sort of tried emotionally to prepare myself for it, but it's not something you can prepare yourself for, you know?
Anita, I know we have to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about that journey, the radiation. Our guest today, Anita Satnarayan, is still walking this journey. She has not been declared cancer-free just yet, but she's sharing her story today, hoping that during this month of cancer awareness, that her story will inspire other women to know that they can fight as well.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
This is a special production. It Does Not Define Me. A story featuring breast cancer survivors and warriors. The women who are defining and defying all odds. They are defining the way their stories are told, and they're coming out and claiming their status, a status of survivor, warrior, and fighter. Anita, you are still in this journey.
Yes,
you mentioned that you had 8 rounds of chemotherapy.
7.
7 rounds of chemotherapy. And the doctors said to you, this is not working. We need to go into surgery.
Yes.
What did you say to your daughter and your husband and your mother? Because you kept saying that they were all your support systems.
Yes. Well, like I said, I knew surgery was going to happen. I still thought, again, that the lump would have been reduced. It wasn't. So I had no choice but to accept that.
Preparing for surgery is also a 50-50. You're a stage 3 cancer patient. Yes. What was that conversation with your daughter, your mother, and your husband? Did you say this can possibly go anyway?
Well, the doctors, they didn't make me feel, how shall I put this? I knew there was a chance of, you know, something can go wrong or whatever. You know, they may do the surgery and they may still have cancer cells in me, or it could have spread. I pray a lot. I do pray a lot. Even when I told my family about this, we prayed about it.
Do you ever, you know, as a praying woman, did you ever feel anger to God?
Never. I always kept my faith. I always kept my faith. I never once questioned, why is this happening to me? Or why is God doing this to me? I never did. My father, he's very much into church. He comes and he prays for me as well. And I, again, my husband and my daughter and my mother, we all pray together.
I know you shared with me during the break that during this journey, you lost your mother.
Yes. My mother used to take care of me when my husband would go to work and my daughter would go to school. And because the chemo had me very, very weak, I couldn't walk properly. You know, Mom used to cater to my every need. At one point, I had an allergic reaction to one of the chemo sessions, and I had a full body rash, big red blotches everywhere. My throat used to close up. I had blisters in my throat and mouth. I couldn't eat. I couldn't drink anything. Mom used to see about me. Mom used to rub me down with lotions, and I would stay by her. She would take care of me, and she always wanted. And my mom wasn't very well herself. She had fluid in her lungs. And she always wanted for me to finish my surgery so she can take care of me. And then she would have gone to the States to take care of herself. 3 weeks after my surgery, I lost my mom.
You were still obviously in the healing phase yourself.
In the healing process, yes.
So your mother did not live to see you sit here to say that I am going to be cancer-free.
No. She didn't.
If you had to say something to her now, what would you say to her?
I would tell her thank you so much for everything that she did. Because she basically wanted to see me do my surgery, be back on my feet, and then see about herself. 3 weeks after, I still wasn't 100%, but I was back on my feet. And I think she fulfilled what she wanted to do. Yeah.
You know, it's a lot to take on, Anita, and I have to ask you, losing your mother, who seems to be a source of strength to you, was, at that point, did you feel like I'm giving up, my strength is going?
No, actually, when I lost my mom, I felt stronger. I felt stronger, and again, I felt my mom fulfilled what she wanted to do, and I, in turn, felt stronger emotionally and physically. I did.
You spoke a lot about your daughter and obviously standing by you, and you seem to be a very close-knit family.
Yes,
but also losing her grandmother in this battle. What has it been like for her?
Oh, it's been hard. It's been hard because she was doing studies and exams at the time. She had just started doing CAPE. And she had to go through me with my treatments and being diagnosed with cancer. And then she had to go through her grandmother falling ill quickly. She deteriorated quickly and then passing away and still continuing her exams and everything. She is strong. I would say she's very strong because she battled all of that, still came out with all her passes.
She also is a warrior as well.
Yes, she is. She certainly is.
You describe your physical changes and how weak you were. Even coming here, you said to me, my joints are weak.
Yes.
Everyone responds to chemo differently. What was the most difficult thing for you?
The most difficult thing for me with chemo was when I had the allergic reaction to one of the treatments. It was a stronger treatment. They started doing after the first four sessions. The second four were supposed to be stronger. The first one they administered to me, I ended up in the emergency room twice. My sugar elevated so high that at one time they were trying to check my sugar. And the doctors, they kept looking at the machine and they kept trying and looking and they confused and I'm wondering what was going on. And then they said, they think it's broken. And then they realized, they said, wait a minute. your sugar is so high, the machine can't even read it. They said you're supposed to be in a coma. And I just looked at them and I said, you know what? In my mind, that's the power of prayer. You know.
A lot of times you said at no point did you ever feel anger to God.
Never.
But the source of your strength, has it ever weaned in all of this? Has it ever, have you ever at one point decided?
I have had times, I mean, I'm only human, where I break down. I always keep positive. I always keep praying. I always keep positive. I keep pushing. But there were times where I broke down.
Looking at, you talk about your daughter and the fact that she had to see you go through this, lose her grandmother, continue her studies. Your husband as well, you both had this business that had to be closed down. Was there ever a time that you felt that he was just angry, angry at the world, not necessarily at you, but just at the environment and what was happening?
Never. Never. He always has patience. He always treats me, even till today, he would say to me, when the place is hot, because of the chemo, I tend to break out in heats. Stay in the room, put the air conditioner on, don't do anything. When I come home from work, we would see what we're doing for dinner. We would either pick up dinner or he would make something. He and my daughter would make something. Always, always make sure you rest. Don't come outside to do anything. Make sure you rest. He's very, very supportive. He has never been angry with any situation.
You know, Anita, you talked about all of the trials that you've suffered. You've never been exposed to cancer in your life. You're 48 years old. Your initial rounds of chemo, your body did not respond the way the doctors wanted it to. The physical changes, what has that been like for you? You tell me about your knees. As a woman, there are so many aspects of our body that we've become accustomed to. Seeing your body change, how was that journey of acceptance to you?
I think the hardest part for me in my body change was losing my hair.
Yeah.
And that happened exactly a week and a half after my very first chemo session. My hair started falling off. I'd go to the mirror and when I pass my hand, my hair, I'm seeing the hair in my hand. And I knew it would happen. I knew that. I actually experiencing that happening, it was very emotional. I cried. I really cried. I looked at myself and I was like, wow, this is what I've come to. This is what I'm going to look like now.
But you're not like that now.
No.
And that process of acceptance and moving through the stages, moving through the physical stages, because as a cancer patient, a breast cancer patient, physically your body is going to be altered.
Yes.
What has that been like for you?
I still haven't come to terms yet with that surgery.
Yeah.
It is difficult. You know, even when I look at myself, I was like, wow, look at what I look like now. You know? Thank God my husband is not bothered, you know.
Was that
He's
a fear of yours?
He's very supportive.
Was that a fear of yours? As a woman, did you think, my body has changed so much, what would I look like in his eyes?
Yes, I did. I did think about that. And he was like, listen to me. We're 23 years married. He said, you're my best friend. You're my wife. You're the love of my life. Nothing is ever going to change. I would never look at you differently. I would always take care of you. Always.
How did that make you feel, knowing that your body is changing and he has not seen you any differently?
It made me feel stronger. He gave me strength.
You are still doing radiation.
I actually have to start radiation in a couple of weeks.
You are still in this journey.
Yes, I am.
Where are you getting? You talk about your faith, you talk about your family. Is it ever a point that you think, I just want this to end? I want this treatment to end?
I used to think that for chemo because, of course, I was very sick during the chemo. I always used to be very disoriented. I lost weight because of couldn't eat, I didn't have an appetite. That time, I used to wonder, Lord, when will this end? You know, I couldn't tolerate the chemo at all. I do not know how I'm going to react to radiation, but so far as I'm past chemo and surgery, I think that's the biggest hurdle for me that I would have had to go through.
Yeah. You know, I want to return to the point where you talk about accepting your physical changes, clothing yourself, getting a change in your wardrobe. What has that adjustment been like?
Well, right now I'm under scarves.
Which look beautiful, yeah, by the way.
Thank you. This is my way of dressing now until the future, maybe, yeah, we do reconstructive surgery, which is an option, which I'm considering. But for now, it's just I wear my normal clothes, but I always pair them with scarves. I have lots of scarves now to match every top that I have.
Now, you know, Anita, the next round, you seem so positive.
Thank you.
What are you walking into the next round thinking, that this is going to finish and I'm coming out of this?
Yes, I certainly am. I'm going to go into that radiation after my 15 sessions. I am positive I'm going to be cancer-free. And I will just look back on this experience as just a little hiccup that I had to pass through in life.
Do you think sometimes it's all a bad dream?
When it just started, I used to. Now I think I've come to terms with it. Again, because the biggest of the hurdle is gone. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, now I'm just waiting for it to finish.
It will be finished soon.
Yeah.
What do you say to your family every day when they see you, and if someone says, I'm so sorry that you're going through this?
I don't think I give people the room to say to me that they are sorry, because I'm always positive. I'm always smiling. And they're like, look at you, you know, you're so positive and you're not worried. I'm like, no.
What are you looking forward to most when all of this is over?
Just being back normal again.
What would normal be to you?
Just being a normal, living a normal life, not having to have the doctor visits ever so often, not having to have treatments, going back on a regular diet, because with the chemo and cancer, you're restricted to so much things you cannot eat.
Yeah.
Because it tends to feed the cancer. So, like, I know my sister, my brother-in-law, they used to go all over and they used to get Sub-O-Sup for me, because that's a very strong cancer-fighting food, Sub-O-Sup and broccoli. And I just want to go back to, you know, eating things that I like the little duck and the little goat, and because you have to stay away from all the red meats and all the processed meats and things like that. You know, so I just want to get back to a normal day-to-day thing.
You're still in this journey. A lot of people looking at this story would say that you're very brave and you're still very optimistic, because it still can go anyway.
Yeah.
What do you want to say to the people who are now starting their journey, or to others?
What I would say, cancer doesn't come by choice, but you have the choice to prevent it from coming. Take early preventative measurements. Do your mammograms. Get your tests done. Keep positive. Never let it bring you down. You would get past it. And never, never underestimate the power of prayers.
Never underestimate the power of prayer. We'll be back after this.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Welcome back. You're watching It Does Not Define Me, a series that's featuring breast cancer warriors and survivors, women who have defied the odds. They are telling their stories of success. And Anita is confident that her story is going to end on a positive note, as she is still, or she is now, going to commence her journey of radiation. Anita, you know, we spoke a little bit about the changes in your family, the changes in your support system. there, at 48 years, you didn't think breast cancer was ever going to come to your family. There was no sign, no history, no genetic link at any point. But you also have endured a lot of physical changes. Your strength is, you told me earlier that you are weak, your knees are weak.
Yes.
Physically, you also had a mastectomy.
Yes.
A lot of women, it is one of the biggest adjustments for them.
Certainly is.
You proudly joked with me earlier that you have a lot of scarves.
Yes, I do.
Tell me, do you think you'll ever be confident enough to not wear the scarf?
I don't think so.
Really?
At home, yes. Around close family members, yes, I can go without the scarf. But I wouldn't leave home to go somewhere without one.
A lot of times there are a lot of images online with women who have, they're trying to normalize it because breast cancer is, in Trinidad and Tobago, it is the most common type of cancer affecting women.
Yes.
Did you seek inspiration or look to the internet, look to the, some of these women who are holding to say, this is what I am now?
Not really.
Yeah.
No, because I remember one time someone suggested to me, maybe you should join a support group. Mm. And I was like, no, my experience is my experience. Everybody's experience is different. And when you hear of some other experiences that people go through, sometimes it tends to bring you down. It makes you think, oh, well, maybe I would have to go through that as well. I try to think positive. I try to keep my mind on only good things happening. So I just go positive and hope for the best.
You said you are looking at the option of reconstructive surgery.
Yes.
I'm going to ask about that decision. Is that more for you or more for the or societal expectations?
I think it would be for me. I wouldn't say to boost my confidence, but I think it would be for me to feel better about myself in that aspect.
Looking at the way this has changed, you know, you joked about the eating and everything has changed. Mm. Is your family along with this change in diet?
Oh, yes. Whatever I eat, they eat. They would not have something that I can't have.
Yeah.
They would say, don't worry about it. When you get over this, we'd go out and we'd have a nice steak dinner. Or we'd go and we'd get hot dogs from, there's a guy that we buy hot dogs from. They say, you don't worry about it. We would eat that when you can eat it.
In terms of your daughter, now that breast cancer has been declared in your family and is waging war with you, looking at your daughter, what are some of the things that you think about?
I pray she never has to go through this experience. I pray that what I have been through doesn't interfere with her. And she, I think she has gained enough knowledge to see what I've been through, to take preventative measures as well.
You know, when you talk about preventative measures, Anita, what are some of the things you would like to share with women out there in particular?
What I've come to understand during my treatment, there are certain foods that you really should avoid as much as you can. For instance, processed meats. Mm. What I understand, the chemicals and that tends to feed cancer cells. You may not have the cancer, but eventually you may start having it through that. Try keep a healthy diet. Don't eat too much red meats and these kind of things. If you can stay away from the processed meats, stay away from it, you know. Eat more green stuff, healthy stuff. Keep your body healthy.
And to all those women out there who are in the middle of their journey, just as you are, people whose faith may be waning, people who are angry, because it is easy to get angry.
Yes, it is.
But you have avoided that.
I have.
What do you say to those women?
Keep the faith. Keep praying. You're going to get over it. You're going to overcome that. That's just a minor hiccup in your life. Keep praying. Keep the faith. Keep positive. And it's all going to work out in the end.
Anita, thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for being so brave in the middle of this. And just like you, we are confident that you will return on this set one day to tell us that you are cancer-free. Anita has shared her story. She's still to begin her rounds of radiation. She's in the middle of her journey. But we continue to salute all of the women who are sharing their stories and proving that they are fighters, survivors, and they are warriors. This is our awareness campaign on breast cancer.